Thank you for joining us this morning. Please stand with me as we come together and worship through song. Worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. Oh God, you do great things. Have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. You have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. You have done great things. Oh God, you do great things.
Good morning, everyone. Wow, we have a packed house today. We welcome everyone here and also those of you online. I want to thank everyone who came to Membership Sunday last Sunday. We had an awesome lunch. We enjoyed it. We had so many people attend, and Pastor Cliff informed us about a lot of awesome information, maybe too much. Don't tell him I said that since he's downstairs. And then also, we're having baptism today. We're even having more than we first expected because of our awesome membership Sunday. We've added some more. That is awesome. I also want to remind you guys of the business meeting on this Wednesday for all of you who would like to attend. And so then at this time, I ask Glenn Cardy to come pray. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, Lord, we just so thankful in our heart, Lord, that the things that you've done this past week, as Kim was saying, the membership class last week, what come out of it, and we're very thankful that we have water in our baptismal, and that the ones have came forward to be baptized, Lord, and it's so exciting, Lord, and we just pray that this excitement will carry on, that this is just the beginning of us baptizing people in our church, but Lord, we know that it's not up to them, it's up to us, Lord, so we pray that it will stir our hearts, Lord, to get out and work harder to win lost souls to you. And Lord, I just pray for those that are here, pray for those that are home watching online, Lord, and bless them in a special way. And we pray that you'll be with the service this morning as Cliff brings a message to us, that it'll touch each one of our hearts in the way that you'd want it to do. And Lord, now we just ask that you be with our song service, with Adam as he leads us as we continue our service here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Well, good morning. So, these are our new robes, okay? We get to use them for the very first time. I shouldn't have ate that donut, right? Okay. So, we're going to baptize this morning. Excited about this. You know, started out with Juan, and Nora gets to go first, okay? That's kind of been the rule with the kids. That's how the Hamptons did it. And so Nora gets to go first. But I want to read to you, I have decided apologies, right? This is what baptism is. It's believer baptism. And what that means is these people have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they want to go through with Christian baptism, what we consider to be the right way to baptize. And let's pick the next slide up here. This is from the Baptist Faith and Message. This is what we read last Sunday afternoon. Christian baptism is the immersion of a believer in water, all their body underneath the water, immersion of a believer in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is an act of obedience symbolizing the believer's faith in a crucified, buried, and risen Savior. Hallelujah, right? The believer's death to sin, the burial of the old life, and the resurrection to walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. It is a testimony to his faith in the final resurrection of the dead. All right, so we're going to read some verses in just a minute, but what that means is when we get to do this, I know it's going to work with Nora, okay? We put her under the water. That represents the burial of the old life, and when she comes out of the water, it's a resurrection to a new life. And so we're excited about that. Nora, you want to step in? Okay. Nora, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, right? Okay. Nora, you want to say hi to all those people that are putting their phones up there? Wave at them, okay? Nora has like 45 people here today, okay? Are you excited about that? And you're having a party afterwards. It's got cake? Okay, we're going to celebrate in baptism. I love that, okay? I love that. So, Nora, we're going to read this verse up here. This is out of Matthew 28, starting in verse 18 or 19. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So, Lord, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. The next one in the water is Marilyn Loveless. She has a fan club, too, back here. No, it's not warm. I told them they'd come out of the water faster. So do you want to wave at your fan club? There we go. Okay. So Marilyn is a member of our church already. So After the class on Sunday, she determined that she wanted to follow through with baptism by immersion. Is that correct? Okay. So she comes, and this is what she wants to do. She's going to get it done the Baptist way, by immersion, okay? I'd like to say the right way, but we'll just go with that, okay? And we believe this is how believers should be baptized, and so Marilyn's going to do that. You've accepted Christ as your Savior? Okay. All right. Let's baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're in. Okay. This is Mary Buffington. She too, now this is different for her. Mary asked about being baptized. She joined our church a while back. Okay. She's been baptized before, but what she's doing with this baptism is a recommittal. She wants to be recommitted to following Christ. And with that, we want to celebrate with you in your baptism. Amen. And you can wave. Everybody's your fan club today. Okay. All right. So Mary, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Got it? And you've already been introduced. Do you remember her name? This is Cheryl, right? Okay, Cheryl. We're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, she did very well. She told me she was scared of water. So, yes. All right. And the next one is Dean Holliday. Yep. Yeah, and Dean, you got a fine club, too.
Watching the water, Logan.
Yeah, he's watching. All right. Dean, also. Dean, like his mother's Marilyn, and he, too, wants to do the baptism by immersion. Okay, that was his choice to do that. He's already a member of our church, but I love the fact, we're going to talk about this today, right? The idea that when we learn that we need to do something else to follow Jesus and do it correctly, you do it, okay? And that's what I love about these guys coming up here and doing this, all right? And there's not no bigger joy than baptizing the big guy, right? Okay. He's holding. Mark's back here telling him if he drags me down, he gets extra points. So let's celebrate this baptism with Dean. We baptize you in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'd love to do this again next week, okay? We're going to give an invitation. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you need to follow through with baptism because you've not done that yet, or you want to get it right, baptism by immersion, when we give the invitation, when I stand up there and say, hey, it's time for Adam to play the last song, that's time for you guys to respond. And that's what we do down here at the front. Come and talk to us. We'll take a little time to talk about it. We may not get through everything before we have to dismiss, but know that we'll take the time because the most important decision you make in your life is for Jesus and for your salvation. And so we invite you to do that. So I'm going to walk out here, and in a minute you're going to see a video. It's the Haddons, and I don't remember their names right now. It's a video called White Van Season, and it's about Pine Ridge. Yeah, it's White Van Season. Yeah, okay. I need a lot of help here. Okay. White van season, it's in North Dakota, and we're going to watch the follow-up video to this on Wednesday night. After business meeting, we're going to watch the follow-up video. And Seth over here, Seth, raise your hand so I know. Seth has actually been there, and so he can give his viewpoint and his take on what's going on. Matter of fact, we helped the place that Seth goes to up in Pine Ridge. And we helped them with a furnace or gas or something like that this last winter. And so appreciate that opportunity. So come back Wednesday night and follow up with this video. I think you'll enjoy it. Thank you, guys.
For most of our Oglala people, summertime is known as the white van season. It's where white vans would show up and do a lot of great things, and then the white vans would leave. 12 years ago, I came here on a white van, and just the imprint that the church has of coming and then leaving. I believe the Lord put that in my heart to begin the call for us to come live here for however long He needed us. We are in the southwest corner of South Dakota on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. Pine Ridge is home to the Oglala Lakota people, and we lead the country in everything you don't want to lead the country in. We have 80% unemployment. The teen suicide rate is 300% higher than the national average. And we're still ultimately an unreached people group here in the center of our country. We are absolutely an evangelistic ministry, but our approach is through compassion ministry. We do a free summer camp for our local kids. It's a day camp. We have church groups that help us do camps for typically 8 weeks out of the summer. And then one of the greatest needs we have here is just basic housing needs, water lines, plumbing, electrical. And I've always done construction. You build relationships that way. So it became a pretty big staple for our ministry was just construction outreach. And then the journey of becoming a licensed dentist practice, dental practice. And through all of that, God has blessed us with some amazing churches and teams that have come from all over the country. From day one and have helped us do this. And so to make the gospel accessible, our heart was to be consistent, to be here, to be present all year long. And so people here still call it the white van season, but now it's different.
Okay, we're going to come back together and worship God through songs. So please stand with me as we come together and just continue to celebrate what God is doing and how He's working our lives.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's ever failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. The author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. The author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever the author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name.
So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth.
And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Because your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Please be seated.
Fun and eat, and you're in fifth grade or below, you can follow them up, okay? That's how that works. So the rest of you are stuck with me. You can't eat, and it's not fun, all right? So here we are. Let's talk Jesus, right? And this is what we want to talk about. I want to speak Jesus and celebrate. We baptized five people. I want to, you know, there's water in the tank. We'll just save it for next week, okay? And see what happens. See what God does here. So we're in the book of Luke. We'll be in the book of Luke until we celebrate the resurrection, right? Until we celebrate the resurrection on Easter. I like to call it Resurrection Sunday. But we started in Luke 9:51. And here was our key verse that this is what the title is, called Lessons from the Ascension. All right, when the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. Luke writes that, and it's a marking point or a turning point in his gospel, as now Jesus is focused on getting to Jerusalem. What's he going to go there for? He's going to go there to be hung on the cross. He's going to die for our sins. He's going to be buried because he's dead. But he doesn't stop at the cross. You see, Luke uses the term ascension. Luke was a physician who traveled with Paul. He didn't walk with Jesus, but he got the stories, worked off the book of Mark that we know it as, and he puts this letter together to focus on Jesus getting to Jerusalem, to the cross, and out of the empty grave. That's what this is about, and that's what Luke is getting us to. So I want to ask you this question. We all do this. Y'all got sticky notes and calendars? Maybe some of you actually use some of that electronic stuff. That's the preferred way. And I can say that it's the right way, okay? Put everything on your phone, everything on your computer. Keep it electronic. It reminds you and everything. Sticky notes get ugly after a while, and they leave gummy resin on surfaces. All right? Your phone doesn't do that. But anyway, you know about priorities. When you have a list of to-do things, you have things that you must do. When you go out and you're going to go out on a Saturday, you go here and here and here, and some of those things close, where do you go to the first? The most important place, right? You go there first, and you get that. Whatever it is that you designated, that place, that becomes your priority. In life, we have priorities. And Jesus is going to talk, Luke's going to describe to us what I would term kingdom priorities. The idea of kingdom priorities. What would you do first? And Jesus is going to take, honestly, this is kind of harsh when I look at it, because he nails us, and he wants us to get it right. If we're going to be followers of Jesus, it doesn't stop with getting baptized. It doesn't stop there. I mean, we're not, you know, we can get baptized and then go on and live our life like we were living before. The idea is that when we become believers, we change our priorities. Our old life is dead, and its priorities are dead, and now we are risen to a new life, And we want to have new priorities, and they're going to be kingdom priorities, the priorities that Jesus talks about as we look through the passages of Scripture. And actually, we're going to cover from the 9th chapter all the way to the 19th chapter. We're going to work through that, but trust me, we're not going to read all of it at one time. I'm going to say that you can do that during timeouts during the basketball games this afternoon. So here we are in the 9th chapter in verse 57. In Luke chapter 9, I'm reading out of New American Standard. You can follow along in your Bibles. You can follow along on the screen. There are actually pew Bibles you can use. And if you have that electronic device, if you look us up on the Bible app under events, you'll find it, and you'll find all the notes for the sermon. As they were going along the road, this is Jesus, Luke talking about Jesus. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, Matthew has that same text and describes that as a scribe. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord. But first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. But the Lord answered, okay, we're gonna change text here. We're going to skip to, is this the 10th chapter? Just print small on the back screen there. Okay, the 10th chapter, verses 41 and 42. So that first text that we read was immediately, this is the context of going towards Jerusalem as we left that 51st verse. He sent out messengers ahead, and then we saw that interaction take place between the three. If you remember Martha and Mary, they are friends of Jesus. Their brother Lazarus, he raised from the dead. So there are times that he goes, and matter of fact, Martha and Mary's house is actually relatively close to Jerusalem, which tells us that at that ascension, getting to Jerusalem, included in that group is he gets close to Jerusalem, he gets to Jerusalem and goes back out before he finally lands there for the final time. But while he's at Martha and Mary's house, he shows up with the disciples as guests. I don't know if they were, I don't know that they called ahead, okay? They didn't, right? And so they show up, and here's what takes place. When guests show up at your house, what do you like to do? Get them a drink, right? Fix them some food, right? I mean, who's got the best food? And I want to know because I want to stop by, right? Here we go. This is the end of the discussion because Martha has been busy in the kitchen. She's rattling the dishes. And as a matter of fact, Martha is rattling the dishes louder than normal because Mary, her sister, who also is co-owner of the kitchen, is not in the kitchen. She's goofing off. She's not doing her duty as the household for their guests. She's just sitting down listening to Jesus. So Martha comes and complains to Jesus. And here's what we see. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried about so many things. But only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good parts which shall not be taken from her. So what's happened here is Martha's all worried about getting food and drink and the lemonade and the tea and the coffee out. And Jesus is teaching, and Mary's listening. Martha's missing the opportunity. Martha's missing the opportunity to listen to Jesus. And she's the one that's complaining about that. And Jesus tells her that Mary has picked the important thing. We're going to skip on here to the change slides, the 12th chapter in verse 31. Earlier in this chapter, a man came and told Jesus to tell his brother, to give him part of the inheritance. And in that discussion, we have the discussion about, it starts with the inheritance, the question about inheritance, the response to the inheritance. Then he addresses the greed that's about the inheritance. Talks about the parable of the bigger barn, the guy who says, well, I need more storerooms, so let me build a bigger barn. God requires his life. That's the parable there. And then he talks about the ravens and the lilies. The ravens just, they always have food. When COVID came, their shelves were always the same. COVID didn't affect that because they eat just off the trees and the grasses and all that stuff, right? And then the lilies, they're clothed. Nothing affects them. They don't have to wait for a sale, all right? Think about that. So this is the verse at the end of that. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Think about that for a moment. Jesus is teaching us about priorities. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Then we're going to skip on to the 14th chapter, verse 23 and 24. This is, Jesus tells this parable. Matthew also records it. In Luke, it's a big dinner. In Matthew, it's a king's banquet. In both cases, they've been sent out to gather the people and tell them all the people have been invited. It's time to come and die. And so they go out, and there's all these excuses. And then it goes on to talk about going out to ask others to invite them, to invite others to the banquet. So they gave excuses. One had purchased land, and he needed to go look at it. The other had bought oxen. He needed to take care of the oxen. And the other guy got married. And now he has a wife. The master said, we're reading verse 23, and the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that the house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited shall taste of my dinner. Pay attention to that, and we'll come back to it in a little bit. And then we're going to skip on to the next verse, and this is in Luke 16:13. And it speaks to the love of money. It comes after a context where it speaks to the love of money. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Here we are in Luke chapter 18, I believe, verse 24. This is after the rich young ruler asked about being saved. And he said to keep the commandments. And the rich young ruler says, I've kept all of them from my youth. And Jesus tells him that you need to go sell all that you possess and then give it away. And the rich man walked away because he wasn't willing to part with his riches. So this is what Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. So that's the phrase that sums up the response of the rich young ruler who walks away from the invitation for eternity. So let's talk about this. As we look through all of these verses, all of the stories, we're going to talk about good priorities, but not first priorities. In other words, all of the things that they made up excuses for were good things. But what Jesus is trying to say is that we need to rearrange our priorities, because as we walk through this, how many of you did bad things this week, right? How many of you did good things? You had a lot of good things to do and a lot of quality time. And so, but I'm going to ask you this question at the end of this. When we look back at and we look forward, do we have kingdom priorities? Or do we have other priorities? Okay, that's just the question. If I want to be a follower of Jesus, and that's what these guys were doing, right? I'll follow you, follow me. And they made up excuses to not do that. They didn't respond in the correct way. My idea here, and I hope that your idea is, I want to get this right. I want to be a follower of Jesus like Jesus requires of me. I want to do my best at taking and pushing away my priorities and looking at kingdom priorities. That doesn't mean I'm looking for maybe a radical change in my life, but it's a radical way for me to look at it. In other words, I want to look at it through the lens of what God wants in my life rather than what I want in my life. Because the old I got buried. I let go of the old life. The old life still clings on to me, right? I still wrestle with that. So I still wrestle with my priorities in life. Still wrestle with my priorities in life. And on the other side of that, I want to look back and see what God's priorities are so that I can live out a life. If I'll follow with His kingdom priorities, God will use me for His glory and for His honor. So let's talk about the things that He talked about that were not first priority things. The first guy that we met in there, he was, as Matthew puts it, a scribe. So he had a position. He had a position. It's great to have a position. It's great to have a business card with your name on it, your title, right? That's exactly what this guy had. But what he says in there is, I don't have that. It's not about a position. A position's great, but it's not a kingdom priority. We'll talk about the flip side of this in a moment, all right? We're just walking through right now. Follow with me. We're walking through the priorities that they listed, the reasons they didn't follow, the reasons they didn't have kingdom. They had their own priorities instead of kingdom priority. It was his position. The next one came and said, hey, let me go bury my father. Now, there's a question over whether the father was dead or not. It's an honorable thing to bury the dead. We get that, right? We do that. I do that a lot. So, but it wasn't a kingdom priority. That can't take precedence over following Jesus. That can't take precedence. Saying goodbye. This is the note. If you do the Bible app, you'll see the note a little bit later. It'll explain it better than I will. But apparently, when Elijah was asked, he said goodbye to his parents. Similar thing, not similar. It's in there. But he wants to say goodbye. And he says, if you're going to turn away, once you've moved forward, just keep moving. Don't look back. Don't look back. Serving the food or guests. I knew that, right? When you show up at my house, I'm gonna make sure you feel comfortable for about 15 minutes. Right? So then you need to move on. No, but right that we want people to feel welcome at our house. And we the hospitality. When you walk into our church, I want you to feel welcome. I'll kick you out later, but right now you're welcome, right? So we get that. But again, in the light of this with Martha and Mary, it's not a kingdom level priority. The next list here, food and clothing. Food and clothing. Food and clothing are important, aren't they? Right? I mean, I don't want to look like I did in there, but I want to eat. Right? So food and clothing are important, but they're, again, not kingdom level priority. Land, or, you know, go on. The guy had to go look at his land before he could come to the dinner. You know, land doesn't move. Food gets cold. But he wanted to go look. Land took priority. His possessions took priority. The oxen took priority over the dinner invitation. How many of you have oxen? You got equipment, though, don't you? Put it in the same category. Equipment doesn't fall into kingdom priority. Marriage. Marriage is important. I have a lovely wife. I spent some days with this last week, enjoyed my time with her. But again, she can't be a priority over the kingdom. We're going to talk about that. Wealth. Wealth is really nice. We got a whole world waiting to win the lottery because wealth will take care of it, right? It's not a kingdom priority. Worldly riches are not a kingdom priority. So think about these things. Everyone that came up, we do all of those things. All of those things have a certain level of priority in our lives. But they're not a kingdom priority. They can't take precedence over the kingdom. So let's talk about what Jesus describes in all of these cases. When they gave these excuses for not following or for hesitating in their following of Jesus, Jesus replied to them. In the replies, we're going to learn how we're going to build A kingdom priority lifestyle, a first priority lifestyle. Let's look at these things. When the scribe, and we'll just go with what Matthew describes it as, because that makes it helps it make a little bit more sense. He's a religious person. He has a position. It's his job to copy down the text of the Bible, and that's what he did. And he wants to follow, but I can't. Your comfort. This is the only one that's a negative, because I couldn't figure out how to make it a positive. When somebody figures that out, let me know. But when we're talking about kingdom priorities, your comfort level is not it. Think about that. You know, when you know that you should speak Jesus into somebody's life, but it makes you uncomfortable, he meant it to be that way. You need to get out of your comfort zone and do that, right? It's not about you being comfortable. It's about you having kingdom priorities. It's about you having kingdom priorities. So as we walk through this, understand that it's not about your comfort. That's what he deals with. But when the next one that he follows up with is a kingdom priority is to proclaim the kingdom of God. Preach it everywhere is what he tells him. That's a kingdom priority. As Jesus is developing these, that he's going to leave. Up until now, they just kind of follow along and they watch Jesus. They help a little bit, but they watch Jesus primarily. And Jesus, in just a moment, is going to send them out because he's preparing them to do what? He's preparing them for the time that he would be ascended. He would be at the right hand of the Father, waiting to come back when the trumpet blows. He's come back. But in the meantime, we can't walk physically with him. So where's he going? How's Jesus going to work? He's going to work through us. He's going to work through his disciples. He's going to work through his followers. He's going to work through the believers, those that have proclaimed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so what's he need those people to do? He needs those people, that's you and I who are believers, to go out and proclaim the kingdom of God so that others might know that they are invited into the kingdom of God. That's what he's asking us to do. That's a kingdom priority. He wants us, a kingdom priority is not to look back, but it's to look forward, to keep your eyes on Jesus and keep moving forward. That's what he's asking us to do. I refer to this often because I think everybody's read it, and if you haven't read it, read it. It's a Pilgrim's Progress. They actually have a version of it that reads in our language today. Don't read the old one, okay? You'll give up, but read the newer version of that. The idea is that we're on a path. Every time we take our eyes off the finish line, we end up in trouble. Jesus wants a kingdom priority for us to focus on him and to walk with our focus on him. Can we do that? That's a kingdom priority. Listening to his word. Where was Martha? She was in the kitchen banging pots and pans and glasses and stirring things up and making coffee and all kinds of stuff like that to be hospitable to the guests. Mary was sitting on the floor listening to Jesus. She was nice enough to give up the chair. But she was listening to Jesus. What's the preference there? What's Jesus tell us? We need to soak up God's word. We need to listen to his word. Is that a priority in your life? I'm going to say that you're here today. So today you've made it a priority to come and listen to God's word. How about tomorrow? How are you going to make that a priority? How about Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday? We need to make that a priority to listen to God's word. We need to seek the kingdom, his kingdom. We need to seek God out. That was his response. Rather than chase after riches, we need to seek the kingdom of God. We need to seek his kingdom. Matthew tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added, right? That's what we believe in. Accept the invite. When God invites you to sit down, take the invitation. If we understand it as Matthew wrote it, the king's banquet, that's an invite to heaven. Don't reject the invite that Jesus gives. Jesus calls you to be a missionary. Jesus calls you to be a preacher. Jesus calls you to teach Sunday school. Jesus calls you to park cars. Jesus calls you to paint the walls of the church. Jesus calls you to go tell your friend about Jesus. Jesus calls you to invite somebody to church. Don't ditch the invitation. Do it. God has given you an opportunity. God has laid it at your feet. Take that opportunity. That's a kingdom priority. And kingdom riches, things that we store up in heaven, they're eternal. Do you realize all the stuff that you have, all the stuff that you treasure, it's not getting raptured? They can bury it in the casket with you. You might need a larger casket, but it ain't going anyplace. It's buried in the ground. We want to store up kingdom treasures. Kingdom treasures or kingdom riches need to be a priority. So let's think about this. Because we had the list of, you know, family and be nice to the guests and coffee and tea and our land and our possessions and all of those things are things that God has put into our life. And He requires that we take care of those things. God just wants us, because my motorcycle is a gift from God. God wants me to take care of it. God wants me to treat it like it is a gift from God. All right, so I understand that. But what happens is it can't take a priority over His kingdom. You understand? Sometimes things take a priority over the kingdom. People take a priority over the kingdom. Our schedule takes a priority over the kingdom. Life takes a priority over the kingdom. Riches take a priority over... I tried praying, I'm going to play the lottery ball. Okay? Those things take priorities. And what we want to do is have kingdom priorities. Where everything that we do, we understand that we are serving Christ through what we do. We are a light to the world. We are a light to the world. When we go out to do our shopping on Saturday and we got six places to go, can we still make that a kingdom priority? Every stop needs to have, what does God want out of the stop? God is with me. I want to be a witness for God in this. It's about more than picking up the screws that I need or the milk that I need or whatever else it is that I need to go out. We have to have kingdom priorities. As we live out Monday, you'll get up, go to work. We get up and we all have that same schedule, right? Whatever it is, retired or not retired, we have this schedule. We're going to get and do these things. Is it have kingdom priorities in it, or is we just living out life without a priority that's for the kingdom? That's what He's asking. So I'm going to ask you this question. What would you do first? That's what priority is about. What would you do first? Honor God or serve yourself? That's what if I'm going to simplify it, they looked at their needs, they looked at their focus, instead of looking at the kingdom. How are we going to look in our life? These are the action steps that I want to ask you to take. In other words, we've talked about a lot of scripture. We've covered a lot of ground in a short period of time. I've laid out a lot for you to think about. I hope that that's like a rock in your shoe that you walk away and you think about it. But I want you to do more than think about it. I want you to do more than have been entertained today. I want it to be more than I punched my card and showed up at church. I want this to have something to do with your Monday, your Tuesday, your Wednesday, morning, noon, and night. Review your priorities. All right? Just be honest. The only way that will change things, if we're honest about it. So take a look at what you have priorities in life. What takes first place in your life? And then the next thing that I want you to do, when you write, write those things down, type those things out, talk to your phone and make a list for you, all right? But review your priorities, and then I honestly want you to look at it and set kingdom priorities. Can you do that? How do I put God's kingdom first in all that I do? How do I, instead of making up excuses for not following Jesus today, how do I put aside those priorities and make serving Him a priority? That's what I want you to do with what we talked about today. Now, I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment. Adam's going to come up here and lead us in a song. And it's got like three verses. So you guys are going to have ample opportunity to respond. And this is what we're asking you to do. when we stand up and sing, you may want to simply come down and pray. You may want to pray, say, hey, I realize that my priorities are not that. And as I'm sitting here listening to the preacher and I'm looking at the text, I'm still wrestling with how do I need to do that, God? I want you to come down and ask him to do that. I'll pray with you. These people behind you, when somebody comes forward, just pray for them. You don't have to know what their needs are. You don't have to wonder what did they do. Just pray for whoever. You don't have to know their name. God, I want to pray for the guy in the blue shirt down there or the lady in the white dress. I want to pray for that person. Secondly, you may want to come down and pray for somebody that needs to be baptized, that hasn't yet made that decision. Then you can come down and pray for them. If you want to come, you watched people get baptized and you realized that you're not saved and you need, your eternity is not in heaven. Being good isn't going to get you there. You need Jesus. You need his forgiveness. You need to call him Lord and Savior in order to do that. And so I'm asking you, if you need to accept Jesus or you need to follow through with baptism, you already know Jesus, make your way down and we'll talk about that. You may be being called to be a missionary. You may be called to being a preacher or something else. Whatever God is stirring in your heart, this is his invitation. Just like that little story that we summarized. When God gives that invitation, don't hold on to the pew with all your life like you're on some roller coaster. I want you to let go of that pew. I want you to let go of what's holding you from accepting that invitation and then make your way down. Let's stand.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid,
here in the death of Christ I live.
Have a seat. It is a wonderful day to be in the house. I'm gonna ask the five that were baptized to make their way down here. But first, I want to bring Josh down here, and Josh's gonna have to tell me his last name. Okay. What's that?
It's Cassina.
Cassina. Okay. All right. Josh was baptized like when he was in second grade, and so Josh expressed that he would like to be baptized and also join our church.
Yes.
All right, he's a believer, so I need a vote, and you pick the date when you want to get baptized, okay?
Next Sunday would work.
Next Sunday. Next Sunday works, okay? Okay. All right, so we'll try to get you warm water, okay? All right, so Josh is going to get baptized next Sunday, so know that. I love this. You know, we walked out here last Sunday knowing that we walked out a couple weeks ago knowing that we were baptizing Nora. Actually, it was last Sunday. So we walked out knowing we were baptizing Nora. And then the day you showed up and there's four extra people. I love how God works. And so know that you may not be standing up here today, but you can be standing back there next week if you make that decision. Let me know what's going on and we can make that happen. Because if God is working, I'm not going to stand in the way of the way that God is working. So, Josh, welcome, and we'll see you next Sunday, okay?
Thank you, sir.
All right. So, where's Nora at? Nora, you want to come down with your whoever you want to bring with you, okay? Mom, you don't want to come down? Yeah, you got whoever wants to come down. You can bring Daniel with you. You can bring the whole fan club down here. Okay, Nora, I'm going to give you a couple of things. You're going to get more than the rest for right now, okay? So why don't you stand up here and face out there? That way, there's actually people watching online. And I'm going to give you a baptismal certificate with your name on there. And I'm going to give you an envelope that you can put that in later. I was too lazy to put it in there. Okay. I'm going to give you a book, I'm a Christian Now, and you can fill that out and work in it, okay? Make Mom help you, all right? And I'm going to give you a study Bible. It's a big person's Bible. Can you handle that? Okay, you can grow into that. No, you want to come up here, Mom? And who's your friend? Your sister?
Thomas.
You want to tell them who this is?
This is Ellie.
Little sister. Your little sister, okay. And who? This is Mom, okay? This is Mom. This is Chris, okay? Thank you, guys. Mary, why don't you come on up? And Marilyn and Dean, you can all come up too. And Cheryl also. If you can step up the stage here, yeah, tag them all, like bring them all up here. I too have gift certificates. I have baptism certificates. If you'd have pulled me down, Mark would have had a gift certificate. Okay. There's Mary's. And there's Dean's. Okay. Cheryl. Marilyn, and let me give you the envelopes that I didn't put them in. There we go. Okay. Isn't it great, guys?
Yes.
Want to do it again next week?
No.
Just thought I'd ask. We're going to have water in there again. All right. So thank you, guys. That was great, wasn't it? Good day to be in God's house. One last thing to show you, and this is, some of you guys are just guests here. Thanks for coming today. Thanks for being part of this day for us. You're all invited back. If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to come back, okay? And so This is what we do during the week. I just want to encourage you to read Scripture. Scripture changes you because God's in it. And so these are the verses that were the chapters that we're reading, 1 Chronicles 11 and 12, Joshua 21 and 22, 1 Thessalonians, the first two chapters, and Matthew the 25 and 26. On Wednesday night on Facebook, if everything works right, there will be a video speaking to one or two verses in each of these texts. I just encourage you to read, okay? I just encourage you to read God's Word. Let's get in the habit of doing that. I want to pray, and then I'll dismiss you, but I want to pray. I want to pray for these five that we baptized, and pray for Josh as he comes for baptism, and pray that God would add to that, okay? So join us in prayer. Father, we thank you this day, Lord, that we can celebrate these baptisms, Nora's baptism, Cheryl's baptism, Mary's baptism, Marilyn and Dean's baptism, Lord. Father, we're thankful, Lord, that each of them made their decision that you led them to, that they stepped into the waters, that they made a statement to these people in attendance. Father, I pray that you would use that to inspire others. Lord, Josh responded today, for we look forward to his baptism next week. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to work in our midst. Father, go out before us. Lord, go out with us. Father, help us to put our priorities on your priorities. Lord, help us to make you first in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Visit for a while.